Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
The House of Representatives just passed a bill to repeal the District of Columbia law, Washington, D.C., allowing non-citizens to vote in their elections. That's right. Just 52 Democrats voted in favor of it. 143 Democrats voted against repealing the law allowing non-citizens to vote in D.C. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here today. Appreciate it very, very much. No, it's not. I'm still fighting a cold. I have a sinus infection and I'm on antibiotics now, but I don't feel great and my throat is sore and I'm struggling, but I'm here because I got to get through it. And we'll get through it together. Don't worry about it. We will, but we'll get through it. But just understand, I sound a little bit better. Thanks to the antibiotics, because I have a sinus infection and an ear infection. So good times, good times. But I won't be here tomorrow. I will be on the air, though. I'm filling in for Dana Lash, 12 to 3. And then Mary Walter will be in for me from 3 until 7 tomorrow. All right? But I'm with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Trump rally starts at 6. And we got a lot to chat about. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. It's great to have you with us as we continue along the show. And by the way, Dr. Mike has two locations to serve you, in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Here's Senator Rand Paul. He was on discussing the idea of Fauci and other COVID-era health officials who hid evidence regarding the gain of function at the WIF. And remember the emails yesterday, Tony and Jerry, and hey, Tony, this is how we bypass FOIA. I hate FOIA. You don't want to get FOIA'd, so make sure you email me at Gmail. Only Gmail, Tony. All right, Jerry, Gmail it is. But these guys were dopes, and they included people with government email addresses on some of them, and it all came to light. But it was a deliberate effort to evade the Freedom of Information Act and the requirements that government officials preserve documents and that they turn those documents over when requested to do so by the public and or Congress. And these guys purposely tried to cover all this stuff up. And the question that I asked yesterday is, how is it they keep getting away with this? These people knowingly said, hey, if we use Gmail, they won't be able to get anything. So communicate on Gmail. And they talked about that FOIA lady who hates FOIA because all the bureaucrats hate the public having any insight into what they're doing. And she said to me, this is how you get around FOIA. You don't want to get FOIA'd. Nobody wants to get FOIA'd. How are these people not in jail? Senator Rand Paul asked that question. is no prosecutor willing to go after these people, put them under oath, get some indictments going? Cut number one.
Could there be potential charges here for lying to Congress headed Fauci's way?
Without question, because you also have the NIH now finally admitting malfeasance. They're going to say no more money for EcoHealth, no more money for the head of EcoHealth, Peter Daszak. Now, that's not necessarily a crime, but it's indication that something was going on that wasn't appropriate. But then the cover-up is the crime. Everybody says Watergate wasn't so much about the burglary, but about the cover-up. This cover-up is extensive. NIH has refused to give us the documents. I've been asking for over 2 years for documents from NIH. It's a complete cover-up. You've got the FOIA lady. You've got their person who's supposed to help you comply with releasing your emails, teaching them how to cover up. That is in all likelihood a crime. And what has to happen is we have to find a prosecutor who believes in justice to begin prosecuting this, because my guess is the FOIA lady might tell the truth if she's asked to talk about David Morenz. David Morenz might actually tell the truth if he is being prosecuted about Anthony Fauci. They're all connected, they were all covering up, and they were all deleting evidence and deleting records. Illegal and a felony. But worse even than these public pronouncements was Francis Collins saying in private to Anthony Fauci, take these people down. Take down these scientists that disagree with us. These scientists from Harvard, from Stanford, that have a different opinion about how we should do public health policy, take them down. I mean, it really sounds like mob hits. It sounds like the mob talking. They have secret channels. The emails talk about secret back channels. They have a secret person, like a courier, you know. How does Al-Qaeda transmit their information? By courier. How does the NIH do their transmission of information? By personal courier, so no one can see the evidence of what was in the messages. This is unprecedented, and wow. Somebody should go to jail. And David Morenz right now has enough evidence to be indicted. The problem is we're relying on Merrick Garland, whose feelings are still hurt because Republicans didn't like him enough to put him on the Supreme Court. But really, are there no other prosecutors in the land who would step forward? I mean, and actually do their job. He needs to be questioned under oath, under indictment. David Morenz does, but so does the FOIA lady, and so does Tony Fauci, because their evidence, they were all working together to delete evidence.
Yeah. The FOIA lady said, if you don't want to get FOIA'd, then use Gmail. And these idiots writing emails to each other on Gmail, and then somebody accidentally puts one of the government people on there and responds with his government address. And then Jerry says to so-and-so, hey, you're not supposed to do that. So don't do that no more. And all this stuff is now public. I mean, these are the biggest bunch of fools. I mean, these people are just, like, I mean, biggest bunch of dopes. They're going on about how not to use the government emails with people on the Gmail thread who were also on the government email thread. And they're purposely saying why they're doing it. And they're so dumb, they're not even picking up the phone. See, this is what I don't understand about people. I really don't. Why wouldn't you pick up the phone or send an email and say, hey, we all need to have a group conference call at 4 o'clock today. Here's the call-in number. Everybody jump on the call. And then when you're on the call, say, from now on, we're going to use Gmail. What I can't understand is why you'd put an email in a government email, why you'd put in the government email that you're now going to start to use Gmail for the purposes of evading FOIA. Why would you put that in a government email, you idiot? You know it's going to be FOIA'd. You know that. So why, this is what I'd never understand. Why not pick up the phone and call and have a conversation? I know that there's a certain generation now that hates using the phone, but these guys are all, I mean, these are all boomers. Okay, boomer, so why couldn't they pick up the phone and just call each other? Like, listen, here's the deal. We need to evade FOIA. The FOIA lady told us how to do this. I don't want to put this in email because I have to email you through my government address to get you to tell you what my Gmail address is. And then when I do that, the email I send you is FOIA-able, as in Freedom of Information Act-able. So we're having this phone call so that we all understand how to use Gmail to communicate to evade FOIA. I mean, that's how you should do it. If you're going to try to break the law, don't put it in writing. Everybody knows that. I mean, come on. That's why these people are amateurs. That's why bureaucrats are not that bright. They could never make it. Like, these guys could never actually make it in the criminal world. They're too dopey. Everybody knows you don't. That's why you have to sometimes get people to wear wires, as they're called. Although nowadays they don't really have wires anymore, but you know what I mean. Because people who are smart don't put their crimes in writing. Here's a little bit of the clip. This is, I believe, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, Matt, right? She's grilling Dr. David Morins.
Yes,
I'm sorry?
Yes, you're correct. Lesko grilling David Morins about his use of private Gmail accounts.
Okay.
Tony, meaning Tony Fauci, does not want me to connect anything to him. And when asked by my colleagues, did you use personal email for official business? Your answer was, I didn't think it was doing official business. And then just now you said, not intentionally. Let me read some of the emails. The first email from you says, P.S. I forgot to say there is no worry about FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private email or hand it to him at work or at his house. He's too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. Next email from you said, I suggested Arthur try to interview Tony, meaning Tony Fauci, directly and connected him to our secret back channel. He emailed Tony a few hours ago. Next email from you. I forgot to clarify in my email yesterday that both my Gmail and phone calls are now safe. Text is not, as it can be FOIA'd, as can my great government email. So you and Peter Daszak, and others should be able to email me on Gmail only, with the caveat that no other government employee is copied at a government address, as all government emails are potentially FOIA-able. Next email from you. This is sent from my Gmail account. Please send all replies here to Gmail. There are things I can't say, except Tony is aware, and I have learned that there are ongoing efforts within NIH to steer through this with minimal damage to you, Peter, and colleagues, and to NIH and NIAID.
Now, as you think about this now, and you think about...
Next email.
As you think about this situation, these people who are doing this, what do they say? They're caught red-handed here. You know what I mean? They're caught red-handed. All these people have been caught in the crime, and there were even other emails where they were making very sexually explicit comments about women. And
when you say. Oh.
Comments about women needing a mattress and a pounding, and you got to get a woman who's an infomaniac. I mean, all those things. These guys were caught red-handed. Like, what do you say? How do you respond to that? How do you respond to being caught like that, deliberately trying to evade the Freedom of Information Act? Take a listen.
Email. I ask you both. That nothing in large letters, cap letters, gets sent to me except to my Gmail. Sir, I believe you have lied here today to us, to Congress, when you say, oh, I didn't know this. I didn't intentionally use my Gmail. Are you kidding me? Dr. Morins, do you want to change your testimony?
No, I don't, because... I think that the context, all these, there's so many of these emails you just mentioned, I can't even remember them all, but the context is that this Gmail communication thing was set up purely to deal with personal things that were not government business. And then other people.
Sir, with all due respect, how can you say that when you clearly, and all these emails were intentionally avoiding FOIA? You said it in your own words, sir.
Well, but so what? Let's talk about what you mean by intentionally avoiding FOIA. I don't consider that telling them don't send me things because they could get FOIA'd is intentionally avoiding FOIA. Because those are personal
things. Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Right there! Stop it! Stop it! And you're going to have to rewind that. I don't consider me telling them to intentionally not send me things because it could be FOIA'd to be me trying to evade FOIA. Wait, what? 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 Huh? I got to hear that one more time. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Talk about what you mean by intentionally avoiding FOIA. I don't consider that telling them don't send me things because they could get FOIA'd is intentionally avoiding FOIA, because those are personal things. And with respect to my NIH email,
personal things,
I couldn't possibly avoid FOIA because I had no control.
Sir, did you use in most of these emails your official signature? It said, David M. Morins, OD, NIAID, NIH. These were official.
Well, let me tell you something else I didn't mention.
And you forwarded from your NIH email to your personal email, and you said it right in your email.
I learned only about a year ago that the fusion of my Gmail on my email and my email, NIH email, on my phone had another side effect, too. And by the way, I finally got IT to take that off, to get rid of it, so there's no more Gmail email fusion. But after I asked them to take it off, I realized that if a Gmail or NIH email came to me and I replied to it, for some reason there was a default where the signature I had on Gmail, which said David Morins of Bethesda, Maryland or something, didn't go out, but the NIH email went out. I don't know how.
Stop it right there. So again, this is the classic example of, let me try to bore the hell out of everybody by explaining a technicality. I don't consider telling people not to send me things because they could be FOIA'd to be me trying to evade FOIA. What? Huh? That's literally what you're doing. That's not even, that's literally what you're doing. Not even figuratively. You're literally doing that. Don't email me on the government email because it could be FOIA'd. Because what, these were personal things. What personal things are you talking about? I gave him 30,000 pages of Gmail emails. Personal things. Guys, I have to confide in you. My coworkers, I have to confide in you about things. Well, maybe he did. I don't know. Because there's a Nathan Wade clip about office workplace romances and how American they are. I don't know if that's what they were talking about. Personal matters. There are a bunch of dudes, though, on the email. So, yeah, maybe they were venting. Maybe he was venting about a workplace love or his own personal, I don't know, proclivities or his gambling habit. Who knows? But I don't consider telling people, don't email me because it could be FOIA'd, to be me trying to evade FOIA. That might be one of the most classic lines I've ever heard from a government bureaucrat. Caught red-handed. In other words, there's no single way you can escape the fact that you got caught here. You got caught. Now what you do is you charge him and then let a jury decide if these were really personal matters and if these guys were really not trying to evade FOIA by telling everybody to evade FOIA. Let a jury decide if they were really not trying to evade FOIA by telling everybody how to evade FOIA. Because the FOIA lady, who hates FOIA, told them how to get around FOIA. Let a jury decide that. I got a great idea. Instead of listening to his nonsense, charge him with breaking the law and then, you know, obfuscating and breaking the Freedom of Information Act and covering this up and interfering with an official proceeding. And then Let their defense team argue that this was all personal matters, not personnel, personal matters. And they just didn't want it all FOIA'd because it was personal stuff. You know, personal. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeal. Do you believe that? Does anybody with a thinking brain believe that? By the way, speaking of Nathan Wade, this is what he said regarding the workplace. And I didn't, you know, I got to be honest with you. I didn't know this. Because I always thought there was another important phrase, which is you don't blank where you eat. But I guess not. When it comes to Nathan Wade and Fonnie Willis, what they did apparently is just simply an American tradition. Cut number eight.
At the time that you were brought on to the case, from then through the time of the grand jury, before you were brought on, did you have a personal relationship with, or a personal intimate relationship with D.A. Willis?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Our relationship was professional. Our relationship grew organically over time. It was something that was not deliberate or intentional. I made the statement earlier that workplace romances are as American as apple pie, right? That was not to make light of the situation. Mm-hmm. That was just to say that it could happen to anyone.
Yeah, it can happen to anyone. It's as American as apple pie. Reminds me of the movie American Pie. But anyway, maybe that's what these guys were just emailing about. Personal matters. Maybe they had workplace loves. I don't know. Charge them and then let all the documents come out and let's see what you guys were doing to not avoid FOIA by sending emails telling each other how to avoid FOIA. Okay. Dads, let's talk about what it's like to be a dad for a second, because it's very important to understand something about life. And that is that when you're a dad, it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, you have your moments. You got to tell your dad jokes. Kids look up to you. You're their hero. Till you're not. But I'm at the stage right now where my three kids think I'm a hero. And I love it. It's the best. Patrick's 9 and Claire is 7 and Reagan's 4. And for right now, at least, I am their hero. And it's great. And they laugh at my dad jokes. But I know that's not forever. And I know that it's going to slip by very, very quickly. I also know that Father's Day is right around the corner. And I've made it clear what I want for Father's Day. It's not a shirt. It's not a golf club. I don't golf. It is food. I want food. I want Omaha Steaks. OmahaSteaks.com. That's what I want. That's what Dad wants. That's what your dad wants. Your husband, your father, your brother, your godfather, whoever. They want great food. OmahaSteaks.com. And here's the best part. When you use my name, Zioli, at checkout, you're going to get special savings off the Omaha Steaks Dad Specials with gift packages starting at just $89. Omaha Steaks is America's oldest butcher. For a reason, because other butchers have come and gone, but Omaha Steaks, U.S. family owned, not bought out by China, U.S. family owned American beef, and each steak is aged for a minimum of 28 days, because that is what makes their steak truly stand out. Dads want steak, period. Use my name, Zioli, to get an exclusive savings at checkout. Shop for unforgettable gifts that are guaranteed to make Dad's day. Because if there's one thing we know, it's that nobody ever returns great food. And there's all kinds of things at Omaha Steaks besides steak. There's juicy pork chops. There's air-chilled chicken breasts, delicious burgers, side dishes, desserts. You can put something together for Dad, for your husband, for your brother, whoever, that's going to make them really, really happy. With packages starting at just $89. Use my promo code Zioli at checkout to save. Z-E-O-L-I. You know how to spell it. OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Zioli.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patients is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
So Fauci lied, Collins lied.
He's
And these people lied and they violated our trust in a big, big way. Here to talk about it with me, it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Wesley Smith. He is chair of the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism and host of the Humanize podcast at humanize.today. Hey, how are you, Wesley? Thank you for joining me in Philadelphia. I appreciate it.
Well, hi, Rich, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You wrote a piece in National Review, which I thought was great, how Collins and Fauci shattered our trust in public health. It's concerning for a number of reasons about the future in terms of if there's another pandemic, but let's talk about how we got here and what these two did to really shatter our trust.
Sure. And I want to make it really clear, you know, when this all started back in 2021 or 2020, I guess it was, I was not part of the anti-Fauci chorus, which built up pretty quickly. And I had, relatively good thoughts about Francis Collins, too, the head of the NIH. But as time went on, these two acted in ways that were antithetical to the proper scientific approach. Just as one example, when the Great Barrington Declaration was released in October of 2020, written by three very prominent epidemiologists, suggesting that the policy approach that Collins and Fauci had promoted, that is, massive shutdowns and so forth, was an error, and that instead there should be focused protection and allow kids to get back in school and allow most of society to carry on. The proper scientific approach to that would have been to have a discussion and a debate and to have a full airing of the pros and cons of what Fauci and Collins were suggesting and what these three suggested. Instead, Collins and Fauci tried to stifle the discussion. Behind the scenes, they were accused these three very prominent epidemiologists of being fringe. They tried to, they got the media to attack them as not caring about people dying of COVID and so forth. And so there was, instead of open debate, which is proper science, there was an attempt to have one size fits all of, and that size had to be Collins and Fauci. That's just one example.
Yeah, it's an excellent example. The Great Barrington Declaration. And for those that don't know, I mean, that was a game changer. It really was. And who was involved in writing that, Wesley?
Jay Bhattacharya, who is a Stanford epidemiologist. And by the way, when the attacks came out against him, his university tried to stifle him. And it was in fact, I interviewed Jay on my podcast. Thank you for mentioning it. And it was a searing experience for him because he had always gotten along very well with his university. And suddenly he was being portrayed as some kind of kook doctor. And it just wasn't true. Another fellow was at Harvard. And by the way, he subsequently got fired because he refused to get a vaccination because he had natural immunity. And the third person was from Oxford. So these are not exactly, tinfoil hat-wearing internet weirdos.
Right, right. exactly. And yet they were portrayed that way by a lot of people. And what I noticed about Fauci and Collins, what always bothered me was, well, a couple things. I mean, first of all, with the lab leak, how they came out right away and they said, we can say it's not from a lab. They couldn't prove that it was from the wet market or from nature, but they were definitively able to prove that it did not come from a lab. That frustrated me right there, because how can you...
Well, and that was pure phony, because right. Fauci came forward and said this peer-reviewed study has shown that the natural evolution of this came through, it was a natural transmission. What he didn't tell the media was that quote, peer-reviewed study, close quote, was solicited by him, that he helped edit it, and that he had final approval of what it said, because he was desperate, apparently, to stifle the lab leak. Why might that be? Because guess what? We've just had the NIH admit that the NIH, approved by Fauci and Collins, funded gain-of-function research that could have made that can make viruses more dangerous. We don't know whether that gain-of-function research was responsible for COVID, but they were trying to stifle the truth about potentially where this pandemic came from.
Yeah, and to argue that they could prove or disprove something without proving the other thing was just infuriating to me. The other thing, too, was the whole thing with masks and how Fauci early on said, you know, to Sylvia Burwell, well, we probably don't need masking. And then, you know, a week later, was everybody had to wear a mask. And they kept doubling down on this. And then whenever evidence would come to light to disprove anything, they kept doubling down. And they did this over and over again. They did this with people who had COVID and said they didn't need to get the vaccine because they had natural immunity. They did this when it came to social distancing. They did this when it came to keeping the schools closed. At no point did any of these scientists ever test any of their theories. And I think that's probably the biggest sin from a scientific basis anyway.
That's certainly a big part of it. And they wouldn't say, look, we don't know. I mean, that's a reasonable thing to say, right? Mm-hmm. This is a new virus. It's moving forward. We're not sure. That shows the proper humility and also would indicate that you'd be open to all theories and to further testing. They also, by the way, promoted the idea of the 6-foot social distance, claiming it was based on scientific experience, and now they've just, Fauci said, well, we don't really know where that came from, it just appeared, and Collins admitted that he knows of no, in a deposition to a House committee, he knows of no science to back up the 6-foot requirement. Now, that 6-foot requirement caused a lot of suffering for people. People couldn't go to funerals, remember? People couldn't see their loved ones in hospitals, that was part of that. Kids couldn't be in school. Tremendous harm caused by that. And it wasn't based on firm science.
It wasn't based on firm science. Wesley Smith is with me right now. Wesley Smith is chair and senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. And it's great to have him on the show with me right now. You should definitely follow him on social media as well, where you were kind enough to tweet out that you were coming on the show today. And I appreciate that, by the way, very much. Thank you. And your Twitter handle, just so everybody knows, or your X handle, I should say, is the Wesley J. Smith.
At the right. Wesley I tried Smith, to. I, yeah. I tried to get at Wesley J. Smith, but somebody beat me to it, and he has 3 followers. It was very irritating.
Well, he is the lesser Wesley J. Smith. We can all agree on that point. No question about
it. The $20 is in the mail, Rich.
Well, when we think about this idea, though, of shattering our trust in public health policy, I mean, the next time, you know, they're still cooking up things in that lab in Wuhan, and we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what's next. But if there is something that has a higher lethality rate than COVID did, I think COVID was like 1% or something, and it's serious. I think it's going to be a situation where a lot of people just don't believe them because of all of the nonsense that they lied about and made up with COVID.
Well, that's the tremendous harm because, you know, if we can't trust our public health officials, then it can lead to the next time people actually acting in ways that hurt themselves. And this is what's so infuriating. This was not just COVID and Fauci and Collins. It was the mainstream media that refused to do anything but promote the party line. It was the big corporations that were canceling people and firing people if they didn't go along with the party line. It was almost like a moral panic, and it breached trust across a broad array of societal institutions from which we have not yet recovered.
And we may not recover from that for a long time. And what also worries me at the same point is that when you think about the efforts to conceal, for example, like what we learned yesterday with all these bureaucrats, you know, trying to avoid and evade FOIA by using their personal Gmail accounts. And I mean, these guys knew that they were complicit in this. They knew that they were complicit in gain of function research. They knew that there was gain of function research at the Wuhan lab. They lied over and over again. And there's no accountability. Nobody gets in trouble for any of this. And at the very same time this was going on, you remember Brad Pitt played Fauci on Saturday Night Live, and he ended the clip by saying, you know, thank you, Dr. Fauci. Thank you for everything you're doing. They turned him into a martyr, and if anybody disagreed with him, you were considered to be a heretic. You know, you were anti-science. I remember there was one point where Fauci was actually saying to people that if you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with science, as if he's science.
Right. He said, I represent science. And I wrote a piece about that, just saying this is ludicrous. By the way, your audience may want to know what a potential technocrat he is. A few years ago, he wrote a column in Cell, which is a journal, science journal, that deals with things like stem cells and that kind of thing. But instead, he co-authored this piece about what we need to do to prepare for the next pandemic. And he said we need to strengthen the United Nations and the World Health Organization so that they can remake the infrastructure of human existence. That's a quote. And that meant, you know, redo everything along the lines of what the technocrats want, and just imagine the regulations and bureaucracy that would be required to do that. So Fauci's ambition, shall we say, and his hubris know few limits.
And I don't know if you know this, or you probably do. There was a story that broke yesterday. Dozens of Republican governors have signed a letter opposing this World Health Organization pandemic treaty. And of course, it's not a treaty, because a treaty would require that our Senate confirm it by a two-thirds vote. But what they're saying, and these governors are right, it could undermine national sovereignty, undermine states' rights. The idea that we would hand this off to the World Health Organization, the very same World Health Organization that was covering for China and arguing that COVID could not spread from person to person. And I mean, just giving the Chinese party line. And to a point you made earlier too, J. Wesley Smith, about the media. The complicity in the media. I remember when the ambassador from China to the United States was on CBS with Margaret Brennan saying that, you know, if you said it came from a lab, it was racist. The media would go on and on. Anybody who decried any of the government pronouncements is just wanting people to die. Biden going after Facebook and saying they're killing people. Then big tech colluding to silence the American people. And even people who were posting things that were actual scientific articles, research that had been done in Europe, actual experience with things like vaccines, etc. And those comments were silenced and taken down under the guise of misinformation and disinformation. If we allow the global Bond villains at the WEF or the World Health Organization to run the show, that we're going to see that on speed.
Yeah, your listeners should check out this potential quote-unquote treaty. I mean, we don't do treaties anymore because presidents want to bind us to things that the American people don't want. And so we do these kind of executive agreements that really shouldn't be enforceable, but too often are. But the idea here is to allow the WHO to, instead of just being an advisory board body, it would become a policy body, and it would be allowed to declare pandemic emergencies. And once it did that, it would be allowed under if countries didn't toe the line to create binding policies, and also to control, as you were pointing out, the flow of information. So this idea of misinformation and disinformation would be used to compel the world to follow what the bureaucrats and technocrats think. And after COVID, why should we trust them to do that?
Yeah, we should be terrified of them doing that. I really believe that because, you know, the other thing is that they also want the power when it comes to climate change, and they want to have power over the United States with regards to that. You tweeted something out about an hour ago. You said, if climate scientists and those participating in other contentious scientific policy areas focus on distinguishing actual science from activism, there is at least some chance that the trust that has been lost by the science sector can be regained. Now, what did you mean by that, J. Wesley Smith? Or Wesley J. Smith?
Yeah, I was responding to an article that was actually published in the science journal Nature. Now, all these science journals, Nature, Science, medical journals, New England Journal of Medicine, The Lancet, and others have gone totally woke. Mm-hmm. And with regard to climate change, they are totally in the tank with the most alarmist approach to global warming. About 6 months ago, and I think it was in October, A scientist published in the Free Press, that blog, or that podcast, that he had pulled his punches on a study, meaning he didn't put in the proper nuances that he thought were necessary in a study on fires in California with regard to climate change, because he knew Nature wouldn't publish it because it didn't fit the narrative that the science journals want to promote. That made a huge ruckus. the editor of Nature said, no, that's not true. We're not like that at all, which we all know they are. And so I think this was kind of a response. They published an article by a scientist from Cambridge saying, you know, it's time for science to be science and activism to be activism, and quit conflating the two. Don't pretend to be doing science when you're doing activism, and don't pretend to be doing activism, and don't do activism if you're doing science. And it was a needed call, because all of these institutions are losing trust, because rather than being a scientific enterprise or a medical journal, they're becoming ideological. And ideology has no place in science, in the sense of finding out what the truth is about the natural world. It should be objective, and that's what this column in Nature stated. And I wanted to give credit where credit was due, because most of the time Nature is hopelessly woke.
And don't you think that that's also what happened during COVID, where it became a very much a virtue signaling effort? You know, if you were not a compliant person when it came to all of the edicts by Fauci and Collins, that it was not about science anymore. It was really about being woke. I mean, there's still people right now that I see sometimes on the streets of Philadelphia wearing a mask outside while riding a bike. And, you know, I look at that, I go, what are you doing? What is that about exactly? Is that, you have allergies? Are you trying to cover up for dust? Or there was a comedian recently who, a woman was wearing a mask in a comedy club, and he said, are you sick, or do you just want people to know who you're voting for? I mean, it became a symbol of, I know, it's hysterical, a symbol of virtue signaling. And it all did, right? I mean, it was, you know, if you didn't embrace the science, and there were people had lawn signs in their yards that said, you know, and in this home, we believe in science. I don't even know what that means. Like, who doesn't believe in science, right? But it's the science as the so-called experts tell you it is, and you can't disagree with them. They're the science. They decide for you. And if you dispute that, then you're some sort of a quack.
The idea of, quote, settled science, close quote, is anti-science, because science is never settled. Science is always subject to questioning. Even the most seemingly resolved issues can be and should be questioned if new data arises. You've seen the same phenomenon you're talking about in the puberty blocking issue with regard to children.
Yeah.
Where even right now, the Biden administration says there's only one way to go when there's based on, quote, the settled science on children who present with gender dysphoria. Meanwhile, Western Europe, England, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, France, the UK are going in the exact opposite direction. And Rich, those are not Bible Belt countries. And they are saying, you know what, this puberty blocking has not shown itself to have that great a benefit, and there are tremendous potential harms. And yet here in the United States, the mainstream media, for the most part, still says there's only one approach. Otherwise, you're transphobic. And the Biden administration does that. The American Academy of Pediatrics goes along with that issue. It's as if half the world doesn't exist, where these studies are being contested. These policies are being disputed, and yet we pretend that's the science. But that's why the trust is lost in so many of our institutions.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. And before I let you go, I want to mention on that very same point, you know, this argument that if you don't let children who we know their brains are still not developing until, I think, you know, maybe 25 years old, but at 14, you know, they know what's best for them for their entire life by mutilating their body or taking these drugs where it could really have life-altering consequences. Drugs that even have not been approved for this by the FDA, I should also point out. But
right.
But again, it's if you stand in the way of that, then the kid's going to, you know, take their life, and so they say it's better to have a, you know, a live boy than a dead girl or whatever.
And,
you know,
and the studies are showing that isn't even true. There's
right.
a detransitioner named Chloe Cole. Detransitioners are people who transitioned and said, wait a second, I am the sex I was born. And Chloe Cole started having gender dysphoria when she was, I think it was like 12. She was rushed onto puberty blockers, and she got a double mastectomy at age 15. And when she was 18, she finally, she realized, oh my gosh, I really am a girl. And she's been really traveling the country arguing about and suing, by the way, the doctors who did it. And she said the doctors told her parents, if you don't do this and allow this, she'll commit suicide. And she said, I was never suicidal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of money in the Mar Hills, too, Rich.
Yeah, well, that's, I was, you know, it's so funny, you read my mind. I was going to say, just like with gain-of-function research, there's a lot of money in this, and there's a lot of money in this transition stuff, and the so-called gender-affirming care, Wesley, and, you know, money drives the day. Hey, it's been a great time talking with you. I hope you come on the show again. Please go to discovery.org, check out his podcast, and follow him at the Wesley J. Smith. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Love to be on again.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. All right. So listen, we're going to attempt to stream the 5 o'clock hour, even though I'm still sick and it's very possible I may be hacking up a lung or I might be sneezing my head off during the segment. But nevertheless, we are going to attempt it. So join us live on YouTube at 5 o'clock. OK, and please do that. We'd love to have you join us for that live stream. So we'll do that and it'll be fun. Now, I didn't realize this. Now, there's another Beetlejuice coming out with Michael Keaton. How did I not know this?
The trailer actually looks good, too.
Trailer looks great.
Which is surprising.
Michael Keaton, my man.
Jenna Ortega's in it, I believe.
And Winona. And
Winona's back, too?
And what's her name?
God, I had such a crush on Winona Ryder when I was a kid.
So what's the other woman's name? I forget. And she's in Home
Gina
Alone,
Davis?
Too? No.
Oh.
She's the mom in Home Alone. She's in Beetlejuice.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I can't think of her name either.
Catherine O'Hara, something.
Yeah,
Catherine O'Hara, and William Dafoe's in it too. Michael Keaton, who was Beetlejuice, because if they came back and tried to remake Beetlejuice without Michael Keaton, it would just be wrong. But Winona Ryder, I had such a crush on her I loved Winona Ryder. Anyway, it looks really good. Beetlejuice is what it's called. That's gonna be huge. It's gonna make a ton of cash. Think about this now. Michael Keaton has reprised his role as Batman and Beetlejuice. How about that?
The Batman one didn't go too well.
Well, no, he was great. The movie was but he was great as Batman again.
He was the only decent part of that whole movie. It was otherwise unwatchable.
Yeah, the movie was terrible, The Flash, but he was great as Batman. I mean, it took everybody back because, remember, when that movie came out, I lined up hours to see that movie. It's like people in the South Bronx at the Trump route. I lined up for hours to see Batman when it came out. You guys weren't born yet, but it was a cultural event. And to have Michael Keaton come back as Batman is great.
And you know this movie's going to be good because I feel like Michael Keaton is in the portion of his career where he doesn't have to make anything he doesn't want to. He's got
his
Oscar.
Yeah, he's got enough cash,
yeah,
right?
He's got his money. He can make projects that he believes in. So I bet this movie's going to be very good.
Yeah, I'm in. Sign me up.
Yeah.
What?
I feel like we talk about this all the time, how all these, you know, these sequels stink. I don't see any other reason for this, why this one would be any different.
Well, the original Beetlejuice is fun.
Right. All the original movies are fun. All of them.
But it's not a remake.
It's a sequel.
Okay. Some sequels are good.
Yeah.
Godfather Part 2.
40 years after the fact, I don't think it's going to be that good.
You're basing that just because it's a sequel, nothing else?
It feels like another cheap IP grab again.
You have to have the faith, Henry.
No, if they can't do it for all these other movies, why would it make this one any different?
Sometimes Top Gun. Top Gun 2 was amazing.
I'll give Top Gun credit, but Maverick was better
than Top Gun.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You know, but that's like the exception to the rule, I think, because Matt was just talking about how much he, you know, kind of despised the new Ghostbusters movie and how that stunk.
First of all, so the first new release of Ghostbusters I thought was decent. The newest version is horrible. I think there was one in 2019 or 2020.
Yeah.
That one's good.
Yeah.
The Freeze one that just came out, it is not good at all.
Indiana Jones. I feel like that's another one.
Right.
Going on with Star Wars.
Indiana Jones was terrible. But that's Disney. This is Warner Brothers.
You got to keep the faith, Henry.
I agree. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to keep my faith in Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder.
I really do believe that Michael Keaton is not just cranking out a piece of garbage just to say that he did it. He's Michael Keaton. He doesn't need to.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
He won't know it's a piece of garbage until the first screening. He might like what he filmed.
Stop it.
This
stop
guy's
it,
got
stop.
An amazing hit rate recently.
We got to take a break. We have a guest coming up who from the Trump campaign. We're going to talk to him next. Who's coming up, Matt? Who's joining us? Michael Keaton.
Yeah, that was your cue there.
Sorry, it's Harrison Fields. It's Harrison Fields. He's going to be excellent.
Good. He'll be excellent. I'm excited to hear from him. There's a big crowd in the South Bronx ready to go, and we got 30 minutes of nonstop talk. We're going to stream it live on YouTube. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.